We're very glad that everybody's taken the time to join us. And we do have a pretty full agenda that we're going to be working through. So we'll certainly get started. But one thing I want to say first is just, I don't know that he's able to join us, but I want to say thank you to President Quarles for giving both Commissioner Hatcher and I the opportunity to serve in this capacity. He's done an excellent job leading us through, kind of navigating through some challenging pieces. So we appreciate the opportunity to serve in this capacity. I do want to talk about some highlights and achievements from 2020. I think certainly everyone, the unprecedented is a word that we've probably worn out quite a bit, but specifically for the animal ag sector, that's one that really describes what 2020 was. Lots and lots of challenges for all of us. We'd really like to thank our federal partners at USDA and other agencies, as well as our industry partners for coming together to ensure our continued food supply. Together, we've all worked very hard to make sure farmers, ranchers, and rural communities had the resources that they needed to overcome these challenges that we saw in the past year. Some highlights specific to NASDA and the Animal Ag Committee. We created the Meat Processing Working Group, collaborative efforts that helped all of us overcome the supply chain disruptions and also develop opportunities for meat processors across the country. I know we had a lot of calls. Everyone was probably worn out with the conference calls and the Zoom calls a little bit, but I know certainly we all learned from each other as we were struggling through a situation that none of us had very good answers for. And it was very beneficial to us here in Oklahoma. And I know we learned a lot from our friends in other states. We do want to thank Congress for getting the Ramp Up Act included in the December COVID relief funding. And NASDA really looks forward to working with Congress to expand future opportunities for all meat processors across the country. Later today, for those of you who've looked at our agenda, we'll hear from Secretary Romanski on his proposed action item that would expand federal resources to various types of meat processing plants across the country. Another highlight that we've seen this past year is in several states, the National Animal Health Laboratory Networks really stepped up to support our public health colleagues in testing human samples for COVID-19. We always like to work with our friends in the human health side, and I will say I feel like we in the ag world were much better prepared to respond to a pandemic than some of our friends in the human health side. So I think it was great to see that collaboration. A big thank you to our federal partners at USDA for providing State Departments of Ag with funding opportunities in 2020. Funding was devoted to taking proactive measures against animal disease outbreaks while also shifting to a One Health approach to help us navigate through the pandemic. NASDA members really act as the first responders in animal health emergencies, in addition to safeguarding our nation's food supply and international markets year round. Today, we're going to highlight future opportunities for state and federal agencies to collaborate and coordinate in that One Health approach to disease outbreaks. And furthermore, we really must outline the tools necessary to help our farmers and ranchers overcome future challenges that we anticipate. So now I'd like to turn it over to my good friend and co-chair, Commissioner Hatcher.
Thank you, Secretary Arthur, and welcome everybody to this meeting. I don't have a whole lot to add other than a few items. And, you know, it's been this past year has been tough, and this year so far has been tough on everybody. I don't know anybody that hasn't been affected by COVID in one way or the other, and these weather challenges that we've had just recently. So, and I expect those challenges to continue into this year. But, you know, the states have proven their ability to effectively respond to the unique needs of food and agriculture producers in their communities. And I'd like to reiterate Secretary Arthur's comments and thank our partners We're helping the state departments of agriculture utilize new and existing resources to meet our producers' needs during these trying times. And I'd also like to thank the farmers themselves, as they're the most resilient, innovative, and productive individuals on the planet. And I would also say the most stubborn, hard-headed, cantankerous, whatever else you want to put on there. But they're pretty tough and will overcome this as well. I don't know if you saw it, but we can call him Secretary Vilsack now, can't we? Yes. He was just confirmed a while ago, right? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know if you saw it, but there was an article a few weeks ago in one of the magazines about this Secretary Vilsack was noting the parallels between the bird flu outbreak in 2015 and the pandemic and the lessons that we could learn from both. And that's pretty near and dear to my heart because I was a state veterinarian for a decade and lived through that 2015. And then we had a high path outbreak in Tennessee in 2017, but we weren't very prepared in 2015, the national outbreak. It was the worst animal disease outbreak in history of the U.S. And we learned from that. So we were better prepared. At least we were better prepared for the future outbreaks. And I think the same thing will happen with this pandemic. So thus the One Health concept. Hopefully we can move forward together and utilize what we've learned from both disease outbreaks, because fighting disease is the same, whether it's human or animal, and I hope Burke will go into that as well. So we'd like to see, and CDC already has a real strong One Health Committee, I believe, but we need to continue to leverage that approach. Just some of the priorities for the Animal Ag Committee moving forward, and you already know most of these, or you know all of these. Strengthening the supply chain with emphasis on increasing meat processing capacity. And this is a big one, continued coordination and communication and collaboration with all our federal partners and our stakeholders on all initiatives. But we're looking at animal health initiatives on this Animal Ag Committee specifically. And then also leveraging the One Health approach and disease response readiness in the future for the next pandemic, because there could be one. I noticed that there were some human cases of bird flu in Russia. I don't know if you saw that, but that got my attention and made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. So I look forward to the developing and building relationships with the new leadership in Washington. And so we can continue to, the ag community can provide the safest, most abundant, most affordable food supply in the world. So I'll turn it back over to Secretary Arthur at this point.
Okay, thank you so much, Commissioner Hatcher. Thanks for all of that perspective. And want to pivot a little bit to talk about the animal biotech in relation to One Health. And I think we have certainly seen the necessity of having tools available to us like animal biotechnology to really help keep the food supply chain moving and bolster that and also promote healthy animals and a healthy environment. And as you all know that are on this call with us, in December of last year, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the GalSafe pig, which can be used for food and human therapeutics. And I remember when we got to see each other in person, and we were back in New Mexico, and we're talking specifically about the need for this within our committee dialogue at NASDA. So it's really nice to see some progress made on issues like this. These cutting edge innovations are a perfect example of how animal biotech can be used as a tool for farmers and ranchers to provide safe protein sources and really help the public health sector to achieve their results. So that I think is very much a positive that so many of us were excited to see happen at the end of last year. It It's a tool that is important to us that we were glad to see movement on, and I look forward to more progress in that particular arena. Along those lines, some of you may have seen this past week that NASDA was submitted comments in support of USDA's announcement of an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to reform the regulatory framework for the ag biotechnology products. And we've got, I'm sure Rebecca can maybe share that link to that. I'm sure many of you and your staff have seen that. But again, providing producers with necessary tools to meet the increasing demand for U.S. meat and poultry products while also improving climate resiliency in ag. NASDA's very excited to work with our federal counterparts to establish the United States as a leader in international regulatory conservation and ensure high quality, safe food products remain competitive in the global marketplace. NASDA, we support that efficient regulatory framework. And I know sometimes for those of us who live in this regulatory world, efficient and regulatory don't always go along with each other. So we really like to see efficiencies developed there and ensure the well-being of animals and ultimately the sustainability of the American ag industry. Scientifically sound, risk-based regulation, using the law as intended by Congress to bring that order and efficiency really welcomes innovation and allows the regulatory system to keep pace with science. So this biotechnology can really improve that interconnection between people, animals, and the environment, and really assist in the One Health approach to combating future disease outbreaks and simultaneously meeting sustainability goals. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I know we have several of our commissioners and secretaries who have a DVM themselves, so we're preaching to the choir to several of them, but I think this is an important opportunity for us, and we look forward to what will come from that.